to turn to the book of John, chapter 11. Looking at the resurrection of Lazarus. Very little is said about the actual miracle that's only recorded there in verse 43 and verse 44. Most of John's account, and he's the only one who gives account of this, most of his account he speaks of the many things that happened leading up to the miracle and some things that transpired before and during the death of Lazarus. And it's a very instructive chapter, a very encouraging chapter. Again, the actual miracle is recorded in verse 43 and verse 44, and we will eventually get to that. Everything centers around verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which is Mary, and Lazarus. And we've already seen that Christ's love does not prevent sickness, does not prevent death, does not prevent sickness, does not prevent death of our loved ones. But throughout the chapter, there's much encouragement to be had from just the fact of Christ's love. And I believe Martha and Mary certainly had a realization of the love of Christ. They knew that Christ loved them. And John, again, is the one who speaks of this. And John, of course, was very much aware of Christ's love. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, never mentioning his own name throughout the book of John, but simply referring to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So John was a man who had a very vivid realization of the love of Christ, and he brings this out with Martha and Mary. So Martha and Mary had a sense, they had an assurance of Christ's love for them. And when you have that, it changes everything. It certainly changes your view of yourself. It changes your view of the world. It certainly is going to have a huge impact upon what you do, how you act during trials and tribulations. And we see that here with Martha and Mary. First of all, it was a sense of Christ's love that caused Martha and Mary to seek Christ when their brother was sick. You remember that when Lazarus was sick, they sent word to Christ that Lazarus was sick. They did that because they realized, of course, that the Lord could heal the sickness, but they also did that because they realized that it was important to the Lord and that the Lord would care, and because the Lord loved them. So this assurance of Christ's love caused them to spread their need before Him. And that will always be the case. When you have an assurance of Christ's love, that by itself will cause you to seek Christ. It will cause you to spread your need before Him. We see also Christ in His love does all for the sake of those whom He loves. Though Martha and Mary did not know what the outcome of the sickness would be, and we never know. We never know what the outcome is going to be. We may think we do at times, but the truth is, we really never know. But the Lord did. The Lord knew exactly what the outcome would be. He knew that Lazarus would die, and he also knew that he would bring Lazarus from death. And through it all, the Lord acted for the well-being of Martha and Mary. We see in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, that is, that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So it was all for the glory of God. And then notice verse 15. "And I am glad," for Jesus speaking, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." That is, during the time that Lazarus was sick. "To the intent ye may believe." He did this to strengthen faith. To strengthen the faith of the apostles. Also to strengthen the faith of Martha and Mary. And the Lord does not send, and the Lord does not allow sickness and affliction to destroy those whom he loves. The Lord sends these things and allows these things to help us. And when we realize the Lord's love for us, we realize that everything he sends into our life, everything that he allows to come into our life, he does so to help us. He does not send or allow sickness and affliction even to come upon our loved ones just to cause us grief, just to cause us sorrow. That's not why the Lord does what he does. But he does these things to help us. He does these things to draw us closer to him. We also see that Christ, in his love, before Martha and Mary even sent word to Christ, Christ in his love knew the condition of Lazarus. He knew what the outcome would be, and he knew what he would do. The entire time that Lazarus was sick, the Lord knew everything about Lazarus. He knew everything that he was experiencing at that moment. He knew everything that Lazarus was going through. And through it all, the Lord loved Lazarus. He knew everything that Martha and Mary were going through. And through it all, he loved them. He not only knew what they were going through, he knew what he would do for those whom he loved. In verse 11, he says, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep." The Lord knew. The Lord knew when Lazarus died, without word even being sent, and we see that he knew what he would do. We do not know. We do not know the outcome. We do not know what the Lord is going to do, but he does. And in verse 14, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." No one told Jesus that Lazarus, that they told him he was sick, but Jesus knew. He knew everything that Lazarus, he knew everything that Martha and Mary were going through. We see that a assurance of Christ's love gives hope. When you know beyond any doubt that the Lord loves you, that always is a source of hope. That is always a source of assurance. It's always a source of confidence. When Martha and Mary sent message to Christ concerning the sickness of Lazarus, Christ did not immediately respond. That troubled, as we see from the words of Martha and Mary, that troubled the two of them. They did not understand. Why? Why didn't Jesus come? But as you look at their responses to Christ, and they both had the same response, our brother would not have died had you been here. But they never called into question the love of Christ. And as you read on in their responses, you see that through it all, they still had hope. They still had hope, they still had assurance because they knew. Because they knew that Christ loved them. Christ could have immediately told them, when word came, Lazarus is sick. Jesus could have sent word back saying, Lazarus will die. Lazarus will die. And you will bury him. But then I will come and I will raise him from the grave. Jesus could have told them that. But he didn't. And the Lord does not tell us everything that he is going to do. And he does not tell us because he loves us and because, again, everything he does is for our good. So Christ, out of love for them, did not tell them, Lazarus is so sick that he's going to die. You're going to have a funeral. And then I'm going to come and bring him from the dead. Because had Christ told them that, they wouldn't have prayed. Martha and Mary, I have no doubts that Martha and Mary, during the time that Lazarus was sick, they prayed and they were always looking for Christ. But had he told them everything that he was going to do, they wouldn't have prayed. And people today seem that they get this idea that they've got to know everything that's going to happen. And they even try to figure it all out. But you see, the Lord does not tell us because the Lord loves us and because the Lord would have us to pray. The Lord would have us to seek his face. So again, he does these things for our good. Martha's words to Christ in verse 22. Again, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Those words followed, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, that is, even now while he is dead, that there's still hope. And it was that love for them that caused them never to give up hope. That hope was based upon who he was. That hope was based upon his love for them. And there's always hope in the love of Christ. We also see that Christ's love gives great comfort. In verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. These friends, out of love and concern for Martha and Mary, sought to be of comfort to them. And I have no doubt that to some degree they were a comfort to them. To some degree they were a help to them. But there is a comfort. There is a comfort that only God can give. There is a comfort that cannot be found anywhere else. And I believe Martha and Mary knew that. They knew that though these friends are comforting us, there is one that loves me more than these friends love me. And he can give me more comfort than anyone else. I feel sorry for anyone who the only comfort they have is in this world, whether it be earthly friends or whatever. And friends do the best they can to comfort, and they are a comfort. But that being said, there is a comfort that only the Lord can give. Notice verse 27. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. She was comforted. Martha was comforted by this conversation that she had with Christ. And in time of trial, enter into a conversation with the Lord and do more listening than you do speaking, and you'll be comforted. You'll be comforted by the Lord. Martha was so comforted that she returned home and called Mary, her sister, secretly, pulled her off to the side and said, "The Master is come, and he calleth for thee." And then we see Mary immediately gets up and goes to Christ. So there was comfort. The love of Christ also draws his people closer to himself. Martha, again in verse 28, went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Why did the Lord call Mary? Did he call her to rebuke her? He called her because he had a love for her, and again, he was going to be a source of comfort to her. He called her to bless her. And even if the Lord calls us to rebuke us, in the long run, it's to bless us, because that's what love does. We say he called her to bring her joy. He called her to bring her hope. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He has come, he loves you, and he calls you to bless you, to strengthen, to enable his people. And again, the Lord's call is always a call of love. We also see that Christ's love is a compassionate and sympathizing love. We see both Martha and Mary have entered into conversation with Christ, and they are both comforted. And then Jesus finally arrives to the place, and we see in verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And I don't believe any of us fully grasp those words, "He groaned in the spirit and was troubled." I don't even know if we can rightfully explain what Jesus was feeling, but the reason was when he saw her weeping and the Jews also. Then we see in verse 34, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And as they were going to that grave, we read those words, the shortest verse in the Bible, "Jesus wept." And again, you cannot fully comprehend the full meaning of those two words, "Jesus wept." But when he saw Mary and he saw Martha and he saw the others weeping, why were they weeping? Well, because they were suffering inward pain from a loss. They were experiencing great sorrow. And Christ felt their pain. Christ felt their sorrow. Christ felt their suffering. And out of love, he wept. He was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. In Hebrews chapter 4, let's begin reading with verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, it's living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that verse always is used to describe the Word of God, and by the Word of God, the Bible. But I believe, though that is true, everything that is said there does apply to the Bible as the Word of God. I don't believe that's what the verse is talking about. Who else is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is read a little further. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Whose sight? For the Word of God. Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, is the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 9, Jesus Christ personifies the Word of God. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. Who? The Word of God. To whom we have to do. Seeing then, now he's making application of what he has just said in verse 12 and verse 13. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Well, who's our high priest? The Word of God, Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens. You see, he's not talking about this book, though everything in verse 12 is true of this book. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who is, of course, the Word of God. And he is our great high priest, and he has passed into the heavens. And then he identifies him. Jesus, the Son of God. And then the application is, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Infirmities is not sin. Infirmity speaks of just the weakness of flesh and blood. And Jesus Christ is touched. It doesn't just say that he's touched with our infirmities. That's not what it says. It says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That is, he feels what we feel, just as he did with Martha and Mary. But was in all points tempted or tested like as we are. The exception being, he's without sin. Verse 16, again, application is made. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And this is brought out here in John chapter 11 when Jesus wept. It shows that he was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. Why? Because he loved them. That's what love does. Love is touched with the feeling of infirmities. Love is always touched with the feeling of infirmities. So there's great encouragement to be had from the fact of Christ's love for us. Today we live in such a mixed up, confused society that most equate love with approval of sin. Christ never approves of our sin, but he does love us. And he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So there's great assurance in just knowing that Christ loves me. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.